Sure.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our meeting on September 19th, 2019. Let us have a call to order. And roll call, yes.
Chair DeSantis?
Present.
Vice Chair Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Kufari?
Here.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
The next item is the call to audience, but we have no audience. So we'll move on. Item one, review and approval of the July 18th regular session meeting minutes.
Chair DeSantis, hearing no objection, barring no objections, I move that we approve the minutes.
I second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
That was everybody. No opposed. Item two, discussion of stormwater meetings and events.
Yes, Chairman DeSantis, all of you have been given in your package a list of the immediate past and the future events that will take us through. I thought it was going to take us through December. Looks like it ends in October 17th. If any of you have questions about those, please, this is an opportunity to tell me about
it. Are you saying these packets?
When you were at home.
Yeah. Yes.
Some of you may have printed them out.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no paper packets these days.
I remember.
Okay.
Yep.
And we can make it. Probably make it happen if that's
no,
the case.
No, that's fine.
There are some notable things that have happened. We have a grant applications that are due today, and that's one of our discussion items. And we have our annual report due at the end of the month, and that is also a discussion item.
So mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to talk about it at this time. We have the State of the Town address on October 15th. All of you have been invited, and I hope you've RSVP'd. I think the commissioners have been invited. Council members, are you? You're at your own table up in front.
Yes.
Okay. So these are the rest of the meetings for the Flood Control District and the Utility Commission.
I enjoy the State of the Town.
Yes.
That was great. Oh, sorry. She did not.
Sorry.
I'd like to go back to something. If that's everything on item two.
Yes.
So let's go to council liaison comments that I missed.
Yes. Thank you. We had a groundbreaking for our Oral Valley incubation lab, and that was September 4th. We had a really good turnout. We had state and county officials that attended, and it was estimated that we had over 200.
I was there.
That's right. I remember seeing you there. It was really exciting to see us kick off this portion of our economic development strategic plan. So I'm really anxious to find out how this develops and how well it goes. Last night during our council meeting, we did approve the self-storage business center and office that's located on the northwest corner of Calle Concordia and Oracle. There were three things that we needed to approve. We needed to approve a rezoning from large lot residential to Tech Park, that was done. We also had to give them a conditional permit to build a 15,000 foot building, which we also did, and a conditional use permit for self storage. The gentleman that presented to us last night, he's been in this business for a while, apparently very successful. And this seems to be the wave of corporate business and startup business. So, you know, again, another opportunity for us to have something more in the community. And I'm, again, I'm just excited to see how well this is going to take off and go. We also approved the comprehensive economic development strategic plan. There's going to be some verbiage changes on zoning and approval of zoning by the council. And there was some discussion on whether it should be on our website. And it's going to be modified so that it will be on the website. There was some concern by staff that they didn't want to give too much information out so so that the competition could go and, you know, and you know, our strategies are, you know, still some of our planning.
Who would be the competition as you see it?
Other jurisdictions, towns and cities.
So Marana.
Well, I'm not
going to
mention that name, but
okay. Shh. All right, the N-word.
All right. Okay. We've already talked about the state of the town. Mm-hmm. I hope to see all of you there. It should be very interesting. We've got some interesting things in the hamper that Joe's going to be talking about. So, looking forward to that. Okay, on a personal note, I attended the Arizona League of Cities annual conference, and I went to a session on recycling. And it concerned me because, as you know, China has stopped taking our recycling materials, whether it's political or whatever reason, is so we are now having to look at ways to recycle our own recyclable waste. There was some emphasis put on how we recycle. Apparently, is it Tucson that stopped recycling because of what they were considering contaminated?
I think they've cut the number of pickups.
Okay.
I think now they're doing it every other week. I think they've cut back on the number of pickups in Tucson.
Okay.
That was a couple of months ago.
So what I just want to remind everybody is if you're going to recycle, please be very cognizant about what you're putting in the recyclable bins. The cost of recycling seems like it's going to be going up, and I hate to see that happen, but I would like for us to really start reading our containers, particularly our plastic containers, and being very cognizant of what can actually be recycled and what can't.
But a lot of these containers will say recyclable, but they're not recyclable here, you know, because because almost every plastic is recyclable. It'll have a number on it, it'll have a little swirl around it, the little triangle, but a lot of those are not. The newspaper had that series, about, I want to say, 6 or 8 months ago, and a lot of things that you thought were recyclable are not recyclable here. So it's hard to really know. You know, it really is hard because you look at the packaging and it says, oh, recyclable, great.
I would encourage you to check with whoever picks up your recycling and find out from them what is acceptable.
Question.
Yes.
Do we see this problem with China long term? Is it a material problem as opposed to a
point of order? I don't think we're. Yeah. This is your time, Councilmember Joyce, I agree to discuss it before we're on yours. There shouldn't be really any discussion on it. It's okay. I just thought I'd throw it out there that if you want to discuss recycling, we could do that. Probably not with the stormwater crew, but I'm not. But it's a good. I just watched the article myself with the city of Tucson.
Okay.
So I just thought.
Anything else? Item three, discussion and project review of completed El Conquistador Slope Erosion Mitigation Project.
Chairman, committee members, the last commission meeting, you were given a brief presentation about this particular project as well as the other ones that we had completed. But this project, the El Conquistador Slope Protection, had not yet been completed. It was needed to be, some slope dressing needed to be completed. And we thought it would be important to show you the results, the final results, what the project looked like. We had photographs of before, during, and after construction photos. Construction started on June 10th and finished on the 30th, which is the end of our fiscal year, which was what we were trying to do. We accomplished our fiscal responsibility to complete the project in time and on budget. We're now just waiting for a big storm to see if it works. And this last photograph, you can see the energy dissipator. If you remember, the water's coming down at about 25 feet per second down that chute, and then there's some baffle blocks at the end. And we're all looking forward to watching that operate one day. It'll make a big spray. Yeah, see, there's the culvert aims right at that baffle, and it will cause foam and who knows what else. I think it'll get a noise a little bit, and it'll just dissipate and come down.
Will there be anything on the terraced areas? It looks like it's just dirt.
Well, no, sir. There is not. Those are what we call BMPs. They're wattles. They're strong wattles. Mm-hmm. And that are there to keep erosion from occurring while the seeds that were sprayed.
It was overseeded. It was hydroseeded.
And the whole slope was hydroseeded. And then there's a mesh on top of that. So the ground looks nice and brown. That's not wet. It's a jute mat of some sort. It looks like netting, if you will, cargo netting from days of old in the ships and so forth. So that they lay that down, and then on top of it are these baffles, if you will. And it's designed to slow the water down, act as a bit of a dam. Any sediment that might have been dislodged, it will accumulate there, and then cascade to the next one on down. So this is the correct way to protect slopes during the interim before vegetation becomes reestablished.
Okay.
Commissioners, I'd also like to just add a thanks out. We're a team here. Park and Recs helped us out on here. We had the streets and signs divisions out on here, and we had the ops division all on here. They did the prep work. They did the wall up there. We had the signs and striping guys up there. Parks and Rec helped us final. So it really does take the village to create a final product.
And if I may continue on that line, a substantial portion of the cost for repair was from our sister department, the water department. So they contributed the water lines that were being exposed and damaged, and the trenching that perhaps started all of this was theirs, and they were very generous in coming forward with some support. We didn't have quite enough money. They came right to us. So, and then the design of this was all done in-house. The analysis was done by myself, the design by John Lynch. We had surveyors come out. We had staff doing the quality control, so it was a village, a stormwater town village that put this together. And that's just an example of a collaborative effort that went well.
Terrific.
Justin, or Commissioner DeSantis. Justin, I want to just say thank you guys for doing this project. I know the hotel is very happy that it's done. It's very aesthetically pleasing, and that's definitely an economic driver moving forward for everyone who lives around there. So thank you and staff and all departments.
Thank you. Now we wait for the rain so you can get some pictures. May have to wait till January.
Or Monday.
Or Monday.
Monday?
Something big is tracking.
Really?
Okay.
Item four, status of ongoing FEMA grant applications.
Chairman, committee members, I mentioned earlier that today was our due date for submitting our notices of intent for pre-disaster mitigation grants through FEMA. And we completed two of them. One was turned in yesterday. That was for Catalina Ridge, our troubled channel just east of us. This is the third time we've submitted. We'll see if it moves forward.
Now this was, we had submitted an actual application, not an NOI lab, this past year.
Yes.
And it was declined. It was turned
yes.
down, right? Did they give a reason why it was declined? Our last meeting, it wasn't clear. Did they give a, you know, are we just going to do this again, or did we get a reason so we can address the reason?
Interestingly, after we turned it in yesterday, they said, well, thank you, and by the way, here are some comments from your old one, so no, we haven't had a chance to address them.
Okay.
The timing couldn't have been worse.
Yeah.
But we have an opportunity to address them before the application is due. This was just the notice of intent.
Right.
That's a sizable effort. We rewrote the narrative and redid some of the numbers, and we turned that in yesterday, and we'll have an opportunity to perhaps address all of their concerns. We have not yet digested what they are asking and whether or not we can do it
mm-hmm.
in a timely fashion. And then today we finished a new application, a notice of intent for lower Highland Wash. Remember, we submitted a grant earlier this year, a grant application for roughly the 2,000 foot long segment of constructed channel that goes through the mobile home park. So that application is in. We, NOI had an application is in, but we thought it was important to sever the lowermost, that's almost 200 feet downstream of Lambert, and sever that and have it try for some federal dollars independently. It would be a standalone project. We'd widen the channel and would help alleviate, we believe, the siltation, this filling of the culvert by sediment. Right now the channel is too narrow, and we would improve the floodwater carrying capacity of that channel, and hopefully it'll keep it cleaner. And we prepared concept drawings this last week using the old information, and wrote up a new submittal, came up with a benefit-cost ratio of 1.1 or thereabouts, which is sufficient for consideration. But we're hopeful that we'll get a grant for that. It is competitive. It's a wait and see situation. We can talk in a moment. There's another hander that has those schedules on it. Earlier this month, we were given a notice by FEMA of a funding opportunity, which means we can go ahead and resubmit these grant applications, which we did. They were due on September 19th.
Well, these are NOIs. These aren't
NOIs.
That's it. So the grant applications are due.
They'll be due in the first week of January.
Okay.
And then on September 5th, just earlier this month, we were given formal notice that our Lambert Lane Phase 2 dip crossing had been awarded. We told you last time that we had received notice of this funding, but there was some paperwork that they needed, some signatures by our town council town manager suitable, you know, sort of financial department that would track the funding. So we passed those. They had a site visit, and then on the 5th of September, they gave us formal notice of that award. So we'll be moving forward with that project. We have one calendar year, and so we'll have a second, very similar at-grade crossing, like the one we visited at our our field trip earlier this year. So we'll have a second one with this formal notice. We're going out to bid, and those should come in, you know, within the next month. So we'll report back on that as it progresses. But thank goodness we got some funding. And then September 20th on our schedule here. I'm sorry? No, September 20th, Dean will be reviewing our current NOIs, we should receive some notice later in November whether or not we've made the list.
Highland, now, the mobile home part, where does that grant application stand? Now, that was an NOI, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was an NOI.
Yes.
It's still pending review. We've not heard.
Okay.
We expect to hear from them. We'll have we have this other paper that we were given, and this is they're saying that the grant applications will be, I'm sorry, the NOIs will be reviewed between September 23rd and September 27th, and if we're selected, we have to submit initial applications November 15th. And then with the final applications due January 10th. So we don't know yet about, you know, any of those. We don't know about them yet.
So the applications for Catalina Ridge, that the NOI you sent in just today, yesterday, that's also going to be considered in this bunch.
And we'll know on or about November 15th.
So a couple of months. All right.
Chairman, question. Does that mean that you will bring the final application to the Stormwater Utility Commission meeting in December? Will we see that final?
We typically don't have a meeting in December.
No. We will probably give it to you in January after it's turned in.
Okay.
We can give you the
that whole. Answers the question. Okay. It's not something we need to.
Right.
Mr. Brown, there's lots of just engineering. If you'd like to come in and take a look at it, you're welcome to.
You know me. I was going to ask a question about the Reno mattress on the other on the other Lambert tip crossing.
Okay. Well, we plan to have a meeting with you, or if you want to have a work session, we could go through the engineering.
That's
we'd love
fine.
To. We'd love to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chair DeSantis, Justin, are these FEMA grant applications going to FEMA entire, or is it a FEMA Region 9 specific grant? So where's the ultimate funding source coming from?
It goes to FEMA Region 9 first, and then it goes to...
So in essence, we're competing with the nation, or
yes,
are. Okay.
We're competing, but the commissions, or the way it works, they'll keep us pretty much in Region 9, but we're competing with California.
Of course, yeah.
So,
understandable, yeah.
I thought I'd put that perspective.
More specifically, Commissioner Bufari, the applications or the NOIs go to the Arizona Department of Emergency and Military Affairs, DEMA.
Right.
And they're the clearinghouse. They make sure that the applications, the NOIs are complete.
Mm-hmm.
They'll ask for additional information. They tell us their role is to make sure they receive a sufficient number of NOIs and that they're complete and competitive. They're interested in getting monies for the state of Arizona, less for California,
mm-hmm.
more for us. And they are very supportive and suggesting, you know, you need to clarify this. And, so they're our friends, professional friends.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hawkins.
What kind of competition is there within the state through DEMA? From other communities?
Offhand, we don't know. DEMA does have an annual report, Commissioner Hawkinson, that I have a copy of, and it tells in that the projects that were awarded throughout the state. Quite diverse. It might be as simple as a pipe culvert crossing, and the other projects are channelization projects, levees, the full gamut from multi-million projects down to ones that are in the hundreds of thousands, like some of the ones that we're submitting. So our competition, I don't believe we will ever know unless we do a Freedom of Information request.
Anything else on the grant application? If not, item 5, Town of Oral Valley's 2019 MS4 Annual Report and Discharge Monitoring.
Commissioners, I would like to, and we will reward these differently, but this is for information only. As stated, there's no discussion on this. To keep everything rolling.
Thank you, Amy. All of you were given a draft copy of the report. It will be turned in sometime mid next week, the end of next week, before September 30th. That is the drop dead deadline, and we will do everything in our power to make sure it goes in. It is ready, in our opinion, to go in. But if any of you have a comment or two you'd like us to add, please let us know, perhaps Monday or Tuesday. It would be difficult for us to make changes at this time. But I will say that we were successful in meeting all of our goals. There are five best management practices. We've achieved all of those. So it is a favorable report in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We're doing a very professional, credible job maintaining our MS4, and we're keeping good records. We have an excellent GIS analyst who makes sure that they're tracking. We have an inspector on board who's keeping, making sure our construction workers, our construction projects are all on target. We're doing inspections of the illicit discharge detection elimination concerns we have. I think we have a very strong program, and this report reflects that. So feel free to read it.
Mr. Chairman, Justin, yeah. I had one question. In reading through it, there were several inventory type of areas where we were 90%, 95%, and that there was a commitment to have them 100% by September of 2020. Does that represent a lot of work, or is that something that will be pretty straightforward to accomplish?
I think what you're referring to, if I may, we have agreed to inventory our outfalls. These are where waters of the United States end up in the CDO wash or in Big Wash, where we still have some questions as to whether or not some of the very smallest washes are outfalls. We also have questions whether or not we have waters of the United States that go up into the subdivisions. Some are private. And whether or not our outfalls go upstream. Are we having to chase these tributaries? The state of Arizona is not very helpful in defining what these outfalls are. So we're at this point we're guessing it's 90%. If we have to start chasing upstream up on the tributaries, and now we have all the little rivulets that come off of curb cuts and people's backyards into the waters of the United States, then who knows where we are.
Okay.
So and that was a placeholder, I'll be honest, and mm-hmm. If we don't have to chase tributaries, I think we're done. We're very close to done. But we're just chasing it.
If I may address the other inventory-related percentage, is the mapping of the MS4, which is dynamic because there's development going on. So we'll probably always be about 95% complete until development is complete within the town.
Okay, that makes sense.
And with luck, we'll never be done with development or infrastructure identification. So please, if you have any specific comments, you can address them to me or to Amy. And we'll immediately get back to you and see if we can't put it in. But at this point, we're ready.
How can I get a copy of that?
We're not supposed to give out handouts, but
thank you.
Can have it.
It's in your packet online that
it's
gets emailed to you.
It's a link.
Yes.
It's a link?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Click on it.
Can you scroll down, Irina?
Yeah.
It
is
looks
that
like
it?
A missing
yeah.
link.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
A missing link.
Yeah.
I don't see it on there.
All right.
It's on the next page.
Yeah.
It's on the next page.
Right at the
front. There you go.
Okay. Just find it.
Yeah. I'll find it and print it out. No problem.
Okay. But if you like this, you can see the afterwards.
Council members, this also provided it online, and with this new system, provides, if there are anybody of interest out in the community, to pull it up, read
right.
it, provide
right.
comments.
Right.
They also can
That's
provide
right.
comments
yes.
through this.
I also add in the email when I link it to you, if you need anything printed out, let me know and I can bring it or you can pick it up.
Okay.
Outstanding. If that's all for item 5, we'll move to item number 6 on our agenda. Presentation and possible discussion by Commissioner Kafari regarding alert gauges.
Thank you again, commissioners. I'm going to act in both roles here as a stormwater commissioner and as a flood control district employee. So there has been a lot of discussion regarding the Pima County alert gauges. Alert stands for Automated Local Evaluation in Real Time. It's a rain gauge stream flow system. We saw a presentation on it in the last meeting. Stream flow and rain gauge system. So when it rains, there's a tipping bucket inside these big funnels, essentially, and every tenth of an inch, that gauge will tip. And depending on the number of tips, the frequency of the tips, we can get an accurate measurement of water at that location at that specific time. With a stream flow sensor, those are on your bigger washes, the CDO, Rito, Santa Cruz, Agua Caliente, bigger systems like that. Usually where there's a stable channel topography, so something that's concrete lined, is usually the best. That way the shifting of the sands doesn't alter the height of the flow. And that measures the height of the flow. We can measure the velocity, and we can measure the intensity of rainfall again through that. And we can, and we're going to lead into this, using these stream flow sensors, we can now predict what's going to happen downstream and what's called the inundation area. So when a wash floods, it has a certain capacity. When it overtops, you start having your floodplain. And so depending on the discharge of water at a stream flow sensor, we've now been able to predict, estimate, it's not finite, what those different floodplain inundation levels are. So I wanted to show you kind of how that looks. And so I do want to start with our main alert site. And this is all public. So here you have a pretty standard rain gauge. You'll see these all over town. We have over 130 of them, extending all the way out into Ajo. We have some in Pinal County. We have some in Santa Cruz County as well. But up here, up at the top, is kind of your tipping bucket. And then you have your radar, which points to different radar stations, mostly Mount Lemmon. And then inside is all computer equipment in what's called a standpipe. And so that's the actual mechanisms of it. It's a little hard to see here, but this sideline here, this is out at Santa Cruz Creek. This is your stream flow sensor. So in this case, your rain gauge is up here. You have the stream flow gauge, which is housed in this box.
And then you have your sensor, which is just a little, it's called a pressure transducer, and it measures that flow of water. And so Sanibel Creek, if you actually go out there, which is out in Vail, that has flows year-round, and so we can actually measure that throughout the year and see how that changes. So when it is raining, my wife hates it because all I do is sit at the computer, and I watch this website right here. And so these dots throughout here, these plus signs, indicate our sensors. And so thankfully, we had rainfall within the last 30 days. And so those pluses have now turned into inches. And so it's all color-coded. So if it's white, it's kind of a minimal hazard. Yellow is a medium hazard. And then anything above an inch, we want to measure that's a higher hazard. So let's look at one of these. So we are somewhere around here. So our closest gauge right now is at La Jolla and Moore. And so just by clicking on it, you can see kind of a history of what's been going on 3 days, 7 days, 30 days. And then you can kind of see a graph of when it started to peak and on what days. And so if you hover over it, sometimes it'll show you some more information. But you can also click on additional gauge information, which this is perfect.
Yeah, this is
the website. So we have a picture for all these gauges. So this one's kind of a boring one. This is just out on a street corner. So you can see it. You get some data here. And then we haven't had anything since 9:18 at 6 o'clock. So if we did have something, it would show the spike of that rain measurement. So I want to find a more interesting one, which will lead us into. So this is up at Golder Ranch. This is the CDO wash. And so if we click on that one, we can see that they've definitely had some more flow up in that part of the watershed compared to what we've had down below. So don't judge me there. So here's our standpipe. Oh, we have topography. And again, they haven't had anything as well. But if we go to, so that's kind of how to use that website. It is all live. So again, when it's raining, you can watch these gauges, you can watch the sensors go up and down, and you can get as detailed information as you want. If you click on the last 125. So this is what our crew is looking at in the office all day long. We have guys dedicated to our alert sensors. They are 24/7, and they are on salary, which is good. So we have, you know, our last 125 reports. So on August 31st at 5:29, we were reporting about 2.3 inches of rain at that spot.
Commissioner Kufar,
yes,
you said it, this gauge data, this website gives you current data or immediate past data,
mm-hmm.
but in addition, it gives you historic data. So you can bracket a time period in the immediate past to query how much rain you had in a neighborhood that you may have had a drainage concern. You have known flooding. Well, then what was the return period for that rainfall? Was it a 10-year event or a 100-year event? If you remember back in July of 2014, we had some big storms. Well, how big was it? And these data will allow engineers, our staff, to do that forensics.
And so that, and Justin brings up a good point. We use this for compliance or to see that data. And last year around this time, there was in 10 minutes, there was 1 inch of water, 1 inch of rain that fell down at Arthur Pack Course. And all the neighborhoods flooded. There was the big detention basin that got flooded. I'm blanking on the name right now. Just right upstream here. But we were able to tell people, hey, this was about a 30-year storm. And that helps put it into perspective of, we modeled to the 100-year, you survived, we were at a 30, and now we can actually look at those levels and verify. So again, I do urge you guys to kind of poke around with this. You can add all different layers. You can look at the radars, what I wanted to show you guys. So you can actually loop some reflective images. So you can actually see what the National Weather Service is looking at, and you can kind of track kind of what's going on. So we can do some anticipated storms prediction. So you can see Mount Lemmon over 30 days has gotten 7.5 inches. Do we need to close roads? Do we need to have emergency evacuators up there ready to go? Do we need sandbags, that type of stuff? So we use that for emergency response.
What happens with snow?
Snow. So we actually have a couple snow sensors. We have about four of them. Mostly on Mount Lemmon, and I think there's one on Reddington, I believe. But we can actually, it's like a remote sensor. So we have a platform about 10 feet in the air, and there's kind of like a wire mesh, and so when snow falls through, that sensor can actually gauge where that snow has fallen. So we use that to predict the runoff coming down, especially in the Catalina Mountains. And see how Sutherland washed in that case would be impacted.
1 foot of snow is 1 inch of rain?
It all depends on the roughness of the land. And has there been a fire in the past? You know, is muted vegetation compared to... But yeah, that's definitely... it's something that we all want to try to model, so, or at least predict. So that's the main website interface. You can download a mobile version, which I have on the phone. It takes you to a friendly app version of that, which is definitely handy. So like if we're out in the field on enforcement that day, we can see what's happening, what roads to avoid, that type of thing. I believe, so, and to get into the nitty gritty of it, at certain levels, we've worked with our first responders, police, fire, and I believe Justin and some others maybe tuned into it as well, but when a certain gauge reaches a certain level of rain or stream flow, they automatically get text notifications. So it could be 2 in the morning, and they'll say, hey, the gauge at the CEO at Golden Ranch is at a certain level, something to be aware of. And so those police and fire are tuned into that.
Commissioners, it's a great website. I think all of our police department knows about it. We announce it at every one of our pre-monsoons meetings. Walk into my office when it's raining. This is what's pulled up in my office. It's on my phone. And we've used it for our emergency management protocols. So we love having it.
Yeah, the mobile app is nifty.
Yeah, I sit on my back porch often and
watch it.
Come in and go out, or my iPhone, and it... So it allows us to stay on the same page and watch things come in and monitor the situation.
So the radar map you showed just now, that's live? That's right.
That
here.
Is live, yes. That's pulling from the National Weather Service. And so we're working with them. They work with us. We're all sharing information to be on the same page. So that kind of segues into our Office of Emergency Management, who is responsible for public safety in times of terrorist attacks, foreign and domestic. If there's anything that happens at U of A, a mass shooting, the Gabby Giffords is an example of that. Our operations center mobilizes, and they're tapped in with every single jurisdiction except Marina, Sarita, Oro Valley, Green Valley, so everyone's on the same network. It's a first responders network only. But we have been working with them to develop what's called My Alerts. Separate from Pima County Alerts, this is a system where you can sign up and type in, you create an account, and you type in up to 5 addresses. So you can have your work, your home, your child's school, your favorite basketball court. And if anything happens within a certain radius of that area, you will get a notification. If there's a shooting going on at U of A and you go to school at U of A, then you would get alerted through the system before you head into that situation yourself. So they've been developing that, and so we said, hey, that's a great opportunity for us to kind of assert, merge our two information systems together. So we have created a, we've created what's called inundation levels. And so again, that's that floodplain levels. Depending on the discharges, we would be able to predict what's going to happen. So we'll bring up CDO, since that's where we are. And we've created this map based on the modeling. So there's a stream gauge that is right up here at Anden Road. And depending on what that discharge is, and we have different levels, so 875, 5200, 17,500, we're able to predict what parcels and properties would be impacted by that hazard. So once, we're just about to roll this out, hopefully Monday, and get this up and running. But if you live in this area, and you're, say, this parcel down here, and you're impacted by the 1500 level, or that 17,000 level, you're going to be notified of potential flood hazard. So when it reaches that 875, it's going to say, hey, the water's getting closer, or there's water in the wash, you may want to be aware. Now when you hit that 5200 level, it's going to say, hey, it's getting a little bit closer, please be on the lookout. And then when you hit that 17,000 level, it's going to be like, this is a big warning, your property's going to get impacted. We have custom messages for each of those and when we send it out. So again, when that gauge hits 875, well, in this case, when it hits 5200, that pre-canned message that you're going to receive on your phone or your email is going to say, flooding on the CDO is expected on the banks, flooded homes are possible, call 911, and then it's coming from the Office of Emergency Management. So that kind of gives it a little more gravitas. That's something dire. We're going to be sending these out to 10 different water courses. We're only able to model this where we have accurate stream flow sensors. Again, those nice channelized kind of areas or areas where we have historical events that we can model. And we have 10 different water courses where we can do that. It's encompassing just over 1,500 parcels. We're going to be sending those letters out to, urging people to sign up for that My Alerts. And then again, when those gauges hit, they will get those notifications. Each one is custom tailored, obviously, to its surrounding. We always have historical. Here we go. We have historical flooding out on the Tinkaverde. There's a couple big dip sections that cut neighborhoods off. And we've had homes and property destroyed, the repetitive loss areas, as we call them. And so using our compliance data and the stream flow data, we're able to reasonably predict that homes south of river may start to flood around 30,000. So someone will be receiving that letter and say, hey, when I get that notification, I already know what to do. I need to have an emergency response plan and get out. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I can go into more detail, if you guys like, but we're going to have it all seamlessly integrated with our alert map. We're actually going to be upgrading this, hopefully within the next year, to an even better system. And then long story short, Pima County is a CRS community rating system. We're rated as a class 4, and it goes 1 being the best, 10 being the worst. We're a class 4, which puts us in the top 5% of the nation. We score enough points to become a class 3. Excuse me, we're a class 5 right now. We score enough points to become a class 3. However, we don't meet the prerequisites of a class 4, which is advanced warning. And so we really want. FEMA is based out on the East Coast where they have Mississippi flooding, where they have advanced warning, and it's long and it's slow, but with our flash floods, we were never able to give that warning because you notify someone, the flood's gone, and we don't want to cause panic. But now that we have this data, we have the resources available now, we're hoping that this system, which will count as advanced warning, puts us into that class 4 and then puts us into that class 3, which puts us in the top 2% of the nation.
Cool.
That beats Maricopa County, which is what we want.
What kind of maintenance do you have on all the equipment? How often do you guys have to
check the equipment? On the equipment is at least 2 years, or excuse me, at least twice a year. And that's, we'll go out and we'll, at minimum, just service, which means clean it out, dust it off type of thing, or it could be replacing the computer system. Sometimes we do, it happens very rarely, one of them will go out during the storm, and we'll go out as soon as possible and replace all those components.
Not during the storm?
Not during the storm.
On your community rating system, you said you were class 4. One of the, I think I remember, one of the major effects or benefits is lowering your flood insurance costs.
Correct, yeah. So the class system, so as a class 5 right now, people within a FEMA flood zone where flood insurance is mandatory, they receive a 25% discount off their premium, which is huge. If we were to move into a class 3, that would be a 35% discount.
Oh.
So class 1 is a 45% discount. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And again, I think only one community out east has that. In Florida, has that rating.
Now, Pima County's got quite a few people, I take it, that are in, you know, the flood zone.
We do, yeah. We just sent letters to 27,000 people, so it's got to be somewhere around there.
Now, if that same thing, so it's safe to say that the amount of effort that you guys put in is a money-saving thing for your constituents.
This is what we like to say is a direct benefit.
But I'd like to ask Justin, in Oro Valley, there's not that many people that would be affected by going the amount of effort you'd have to spend to get into a better rating in terms of the savings that residents in Oro Valley would have, is there?
So I think your question, Commissioner Hawkinson, is whether or not the town has considered joining the community rating system so that our constituents would benefit from a similar cost savings. Yes, we did. We examined that quite thoroughly. I attended a class. My predecessor prepared a submittal package for review. I think it had even been intended to review it. But upon more closer examination, it turns out certain of the numbers, but there's something like 40 homes in Oro Valley that are in special flood hazard areas and have flood insurance. And the cost savings would have been $150 total for the total community to get into the class 9, the very lowest. We would save $150 community-wide. Each of the 40 homes would get small amount, and we wrote a report for the commission describing our past efforts with regard to starting getting involved in the community rating system and our rationale for recommending against it. The amount of effort it takes to maintain a position within the community rating system is tremendous. There's reports that have to be prepared and submitted,
and
we didn't. Yeah, notifications. We didn't think it warranted staff's effort to do that. But what we did find out is that the efforts that communities put forth in that participation, identifying flood hazard areas, developing neighborhood flood mitigation programs. You know, we're aware of those and we're trying to implement them locally apart from the CRS program, but we're aware of the benefits and how to implement it, and we're working towards doing that. So even though we're not part of the CRS and there's no immediate plan at the moment for us to do so, we still embrace the program and the benefits that our community would receive if we were to be a member. You know, if anyone would like to see that report, it's probably online or it's available through just an email to one of us. We'd be more than happy to share that report. It's about 15 pages long.
Great. Any other questions or points on item 6?
The cake gun? No?
No, that's all right. Yeah. If you guys are interested, we had our alert manager. I lost it somewhere. But it's the other link on there. He was on the Morning Glens news program.
Oh.
And he kind of went over kind of what I highlighted and how that can work as well. So that's about 2-3 minutes of his portion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 7. Presentation of possible discussions, stormwater utility, fiscal year 18-19, financial update through June 2019. So going to the year-end report.
I say positive numbers are always positive.
Well, yes.
Do
that's the non-accountant's point of view, but yes.
Mrs. Ramsey, do you anticipate any unexpected expenses? I mean, you all have contingencies. Does everything look good on your end from a management perspective?
Commissioners, everything looks good on our end. Everything was expended as we thought. Slowly eating away at that contingency. Next year, hopefully, we'll even take a bigger bite.
Did we get any extra year-end money from the county? In years past, we had gotten, you know, some money that the county.
In services.
Services.
We have always. I'm trying to think if they did any last-minute projects for us this year.
I remember we were talking about it as we go through it. There wasn't. You know, the funding was internal, as opposed to years past, we were able to.
We had a very dry season, so we didn't have a lot of need for that. They're always willing to. Matter of fact, we have had discussions as we talked about the FEMA grant and stuff. Their willingness to provide the match for the upcoming ones, work with us on future as we improve our CIPs. We've done a lot of clean out. We've done a lot of good thing with them. I can't think of any project they've worked on us with a lot of studies this year. They're finishing up the North Ranch study. We've met with them they've met with them monthly on several studies. The North Ranch just pops to mind, but quite a few studies. So Highland helping us with the numbers there. So while we didn't get physical work, where they're doing a lot of planning, helps us with reviews. So from the management side, they are right in step with us. Great relationship with the Pima County Flood Control District. Can't think of a better group I want to work with.
And they did offer to do physical work, some clean outs for us. We all of us spread out and looked at our drainage infrastructure and was our opinion that everything was in good working shape in advance of the monsoon season, and elected not to call them in, but they were more than willing to do so within their capability. So I think we're good.
All right. Any other discussion on the financials? agenda items.
So, commissioners, on the tail end of that item, I thought one of the things we may want to place on next year's, and we'll create the report, will be the update discussion and update of the rate review. We're annually required to look at the rebate, answer the questions, are we where we should be, bring forward an updated CIP, and we will create that report for you next year. Next month.
Why don't we go through this in sequence?
Amy, what did you call that report again? An update on what?
Annual rate analysis.
I was trying to think what's the name.
So, item one, we'll talk about the session, the minutes. Item two would remain the same. Item three would disappear. Question I have is the manual that we had the consultants working on.
DCM.
Is that at a point where we can at least know what the status is?
Yes, we could report on the status, but we don't have any work products.
Then never mind. Okay, that's fine. Just something.
And likely in a month it wouldn't change.
That's fine. So item three would go away. Item four would remain.
The status of ongoing?
Yep.
And we'll place that under discussion.
Yeah, and that's fine. So it's just going to sequence up. So this will just move up depending upon where we are. We won't need number five. We won't need number six. And what we'll do is instead of number six, we'll substitute the rate update discussion. And whatever number that comes out to be at that point, and then that will lead into the financials. So that can be bundled together as one agenda item.
Okay.
So that's probably only four or five items there.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add an item.
Add an item.
I'd like discussion and possible action changing our 2020 meeting schedule from monthly to bi-monthly.
So that'll go. We'll put that. Let's put that right after the financial update. Every other month.
Every other month. Right. So that you understand.
Okay. Let's confirm our next meeting date.
Possible action.
I have to remember to word these correctly now.
Would that be the 23rd?
17th.
I mean, 17th, rather. Would that be the 17th?
Yes. Yes, Friday's the 18th.
Okay. That's fine. And we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.